Ladies of the Canyon. It's a name that made me think of Joni Mitchell, because mm-hmm. I believe that there is a song by that name. And now that's a pretty powerful woman to have as any kind of influence or inspiration there. But Ladies of the Canyon is not just a song. They're a formidable, meaty, fun band of girls, of Canadian girls. Senja Sargent. Senja. I said it wrong right off the bat, and I knew it. Senja Sargent, Maya Davies, Jasmine. Now say it for me again so I don't
know.
Linda Bliley and Anna Ruddick make up Ladies of the Canyon, who are going to be playing this Saturday night, actually, at La Boque et Bière microbrewery, an awesome little venue in Sherbrooke. On the phone with me now, Senja Sargent, vocals, lead guitar, and mandolin. Now, tell me about the coming together of you girls, Senja, and how you've come to put together this great sound of yours.
We just met on the Montreal music scene, bar scene, hanging out at the same places, playing music at the same places, and shared obviously an interest in music, but more importantly, like the an era of music. We're all into like music from the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. And I don't know, we just got together and for fun and would jam in our living rooms and drink wine and, you know, listen to our favorite music, other artists and stuff like that. And we just woke up one day and we're in a band together.
and away you go. And I think that's the way the best bands are born. It's just sort of this, I don't know, a want, a need for the music.
It's sort of serendipitous. We didn't try to be in a band. We didn't try to come up with a sound. We didn't do any of that. It just happened on its own.
So tell me now where all of you are from, because the four of you span the country to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, we met in Montreal, but originally Jasmine is from Alexandria, Ontario. Maya is a true Montrealer, from Montreal. Anna is from Regina, Saskatchewan, and I was born in New Brunswick.
Wow, so I mean, there's a little bit of serendipity for you. We got one massive country, so it's pretty something when people find one another with these kind of influences and talents, and just kind of that that it all comes together. Now, tell me about Haunted Woman. I have to identify with that that as a title to a certain extent. And
the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, the song, Maya wrote that song, actually, and it was a nod to a bunch of her favorite writers, or some of her favorite, like, traditional writers, like, you know, John Prines, and then, John Hyatt, and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's a song that is about the trials and tribulations of, you know, young women and the things that they go through, things that they have to overcome.
So, and
internally and externally.
So how did it wind up being that Haunted Woman sounded like the right title for the album as well?
Well, because a lot of those songs were written in our early to mid, our early 20s. And a lot of the songs are exactly about that, like the experiences we've had.
Here we go. All right,
whether
we're back.
Good and bad. No, I was just saying that a lot of the songs on the album are exactly about that. So the trials and tribulations of a young woman in this day and age in this society, and, you know, heartbreak, friendship, whatever. Examining oneself and growing, I guess.
So Follow Me Down, it's definitely got that vibe about it that makes the listener want to move, which I would know from listening to it myself. And according, I was going through the Ladies of the Canyon website, ladiesofthecanyon.com, and in the bio, it says that it was inspired by a, like, recent relationship travails, and the whole idea of conquering personal trouble. Now, do you find, like, as a songwriter and performer, I mean, traditionally, it seems like that's often where inspiration comes from, right? Is that point where you're, you know, coping with I don't know, the frustrations of relationships or trying to figure out where direction or what to do with yourself?
Well, yeah, but something that I've found is that inspiration can come from anywhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be. I think that's a growth thing as a writer too. You don't have to be sad to write a song. You don't have to be having a really hard time or have just broken up with your boyfriend or a song. I think you reach a certain point where you start writing. You get bored with yourself and you start writing about other people's experiences and kind of like vicariously write through them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it can be from any. It definitely helps. Like, you know.
Sure. It's that whole thing. If you're experiencing something that's I don't know, profoundly personal or whatever, then.
Sometimes I find that if you're experiencing something profoundly personal, it's harder to write.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if it's something really, really... Because it's hard to be objective about it. If it's, I don't know. Like, I don't want to get all, like, specific. But I've had many experiences where I could not gather my thoughts enough about, a specific experience because it was too close to me emotionally.
Yeah, if it's more like a third party sort of thing that you're,
yeah.
if you can kind of have a different sort of perspective or a different view of what's going on. So
yeah, why co-writing is cool.
Yeah,
that's because you can say one of the girls, we're all really close. So if one of us is going through something or. It's happened before where I was like, okay, here's my idea. Here's my musical idea. I can't put lyrics to this. I can't express myself. This is what it's about. And they're so close to you that they know exactly what's going on and they can kind of feel what you're going through. So they add that second part of the song that you're not capable of doing yourself.
Right. That missing piece kind of thing do you find that happens sometimes too when it comes to, finding the lyrics but not being able to know what the music is supposed to sound like, or the reverse, like being able to come up with a sound that you really like but not really knowing what to do with it words-wise, vocals-wise?
But like coming up with a melody, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think that it applies to like all aspects of writing, really.
Now, you guys have got on the Ladies of the Canyon website, there's the pick of the week that's actually for today is Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
What a great track to put on there. How was that one? How did you come to choose that to put to as an influence to put it up there?
That was a funny one. I was really fortunate that my dad played a lot of really, really amazing music from the time that I was a really small. Well, from the time I was a baby, really.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of them. I remember falling in love with that song when I was, like, 10 years old, and I would literally put it on the stereo and stand there and pretend I was conducting it.
Yeah.
I would be conducting the song.
Well, there's something...
And then I would just put it on repeat.
There's something so ethereal about a Kate Bush track, too, that you... It's like Cloud Bursting, you know, is another one by...
Yeah, Cloud Busting, yeah.
Yeah, Cloud Busting, that's it. Is another one by her that makes you want to stop there's like, I guess it's maybe the theatrics that inevitably comes out in her songs.
Yeah, she's incredibly theatrical in her
music. So, the four of you touring right now, what's it like being on the road together? How's that going?
It's fun. I mean, we have our ups and downs, that's for sure. Any band that's in close quarters for weeks and months on end with no personal space does, you know, but...
Absolutely.
We're pretty good at it, though.
I have to ask, the photo that's your main, photo for the website, where was that shot? Where was that taken? What photographer took that? You have this giant, humongously wide couch.
Matt Barnes took that, and it was at the McLaughlin House, and it's actually the founder of GM Motors.
Wow.
They built this huge mansion in the middle of, like, downtown Oshawa, of all places. And, so it's kind of like a, diamond in the rough in a lot of ways, but it's an incredible house, and it's been kept very, very well.
It's a great. I like the. There's a certain theme to the colors and textures and the and what you girls wear as well. There's a real art, like an artful thing to it as well. There's a real sepia tone thing about you girls as a group, at least from the photos and whatnot that have been put up late, like recently.
Yeah,
that's they're really fantastic. So you're going to be hitting the stage in Sherbrooke this Saturday night at La Boquebière, which is a great little venue. It's kind of a nifty spot to be, and we'll absolutely be looking forward to having you here.
Yeah, we were checking that place out today. It's really cute.
I love it. It's one of the, I think it's one of the places that offers the most kind of potential for making your own atmosphere. It's really a nifty spot and attracts cool people. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Great. Well, we'll be looking forward to having you here in Sherbrooke. And thanks very much, Senya.
Thank you very much for having me.